everybody, Jason Cutter here. Welcome to part three of my conversation with Mark Michelson. Super excited. If you haven't caught the previous two, make sure to check them out. The first one on authenticity and what he's seeing, especially when we talk about what works and what people think about when they think of authenticity. And then also we talked about his book. And then part two was on persuasion and where that comes in the practice of selling and what people are looking for and what they want most from a salesperson and what a salesperson can do to actually build that up so that you can successfully move someone forward. Now we're going to talk about the future of sales. And again, Mark is a professor at Virginia Tech's program. He's focused on sales and sales education, comes with a long background in sales leadership, B2B, doing sales for a long time, and then bringing that to the classroom. Mark, are you ready to talk about the future of sales?
Absolutely. Let's go.
All right. So when I think about the future of sales, I think about two sides, right? So there's the salesperson themselves and what the future looks like for them. And then there's what customers and consumers, buyers, no matter what you're selling, like we've talked about, it's all the same from a human standpoint, is what they want. So let's talk about the salespeople part first. When you look at especially your early days in sales to now, and then where sales goes forward, what do you see for the future of salespeople, what they've got to do to be successful now and or in the future?
I think right now and in the future, they have to have a very solid foundation of sales technology. And I don't care what company you go to, there's going to be some type of CRM system they use. And you have to be able to navigate a CRM system to be successful. Technology is going to have a role in sales, and it's only going to continue to increase. So the more knowledge you have, the more of a foundation you have when you go to a company, that's what you need. They will teach you their system, but having a foundation is going to make it that much easier for you to adapt and to be integrated within their system and their company.
Where do you see that resistance even now, or do you see that with future salespeople that you're teaching where they aren't into the technology, they don't want to use CRMs, they just want to talk to people?
I bring this up all the time. I'm like, that's all fine and good. You can talk, but how are you going to follow up? What are they talking about? How are you going to continue this conversation on meeting number two? Because if you don't have any notes and if you don't know what they want or how many times you've called them, you're going to be wasting your time and you're going to be wasting the customer's time. Not only that, but if you go on vacation and your customer calls in to the office and wants to put an order in, there's no record because you're the only one that has it. That's why you need to embrace technology, and the salespeople of the future, this is right up their alley because they've grown up with technology. So they are going to adapt very quickly to this, and they're going to gravitate towards that because they understand technology. It makes their lives so much easier in their personal life. Now it's going to make their professional life that much easier. And I sit there and I listen to the students with their internships and the systems that they're working with, and I'm like, I would have given anything to have that when I was in sales and when I first started, because it makes your job that much easier and you don't need to focus on the mundane paperwork because it's all right there. It's literally at your fingertips, and it's going to make life and your job that much easier, and you're going to be that much more efficient. And that's the key, is the more efficient you can be, the happier your customer is going to be.
Yeah, and it's interesting to think about that, because I think you're very right that with the future generations of salespeople, like whatever age somebody might be, having technology from the beginning and it just being a part of life versus, let's say, for you and I, where maybe there's no internet, there were no computers, like it wasn't a thing that you had. And then it was something some people embraced over time and other people just didn't. But it always comes down to people who understand systems and understand the value of systems and processes, right? Think about maybe when you're beginning sales, writing it down on a legal pad, but then how do you keep track of it? And how do you have a system versus just like forgetting who you talk to? Like yeah. It's understanding the value of that, like you said.
Yeah. And think about it. If you're putting it in a CRM system and you're tracking your sales and you're tracking what you've done for your customer, when you sit down to have your quarterly review and they say, so Jason, what have you done to help us grow our market share? As a matter of fact, pull up your CRM. These are the leads. These are the pieces of business that we're working on. This is the opportunity that we can get if we close it. This is the business that we've already closed. This is what we brought to the table because of closed business. It just, all of a sudden, your value in your customer's eyes goes up tenfold. And value is the differentiator between you and your competition. And that's the key. That's what technology does for you.
So my next question was going to be, in the future of sales, what does that mean for consumers? What are buyers want more of or less of in the future of dealing with a salesperson? So obviously there's value that you mentioned. What else?
I think honestly, what a buyer doesn't want, the buyers doesn't want their time to be wasted. Time is money, right? And they expect you to come prepared. They expect you to do your homework, to know who they are, what markets they go into, who they're already buying from, what are the opportunities, and what can you bring to them that's going to help them increase their market share. The more information you bring, the better prepared you are for your meeting, the better the meeting's going to be. And that's what the buyer is looking for. Because again, the internet has changed the way the buyer is approaching meetings, because they're gathering all the information before you even walk in the door. So you, as the seller, need to do your homework just as much.
Yeah. And it's so true when you look at that. The thing that I focus on in helping companies and teams understand that customers, buyers, they care about the sales experience from their perspective, mostly from self-centered. We all want what we want. And the tolerance for putting up with a bad sales process is much lower because we have nearly unlimited choice. So back in the day, you wanted to buy something, you had to go to the store and hope that they had it, right? Yes. Car, a couch, whatever. Or you'd spend your whole day or weekend driving around to all the other stores, but you're still limited in geography. Now, you just pick up a phone anywhere. I could order a couch from another state and get it delivered. And it doesn't matter. I don't have to put up with your crappy process or your professional way of trying to sell me.
I try to tell my students that if you want to be successful, you have to put yourself in their mindset. You have to get on their side of the table and try to figure out what they're thinking, what's going on in their minds, and what is their day like, and put yourself in their shoes. Have empathy. You have to have empathy as a salesperson and understand what's going on across the table. If the more you can understand the buyer, the more you can look at them and try to figure out what's going on, the better you're going to be. And the better you're going to be for that buyer.
So what's interesting is that when I talk to people about that, they get it. When I say, hey, when you're a customer, what do you want? And then what do you tolerate and not tolerate? And then there's still this disconnect with people. Maybe it's the autopilot unconscious part where what they like and don't like as a customer, but then they get into a sales role and they just get into sales mode where they think they have to do it a certain way.
Yeah. And I think that's what it is, that they go into a sales call and it's like they have a mental checklist. Is I got to do this and this because that's how I was trained and I need to get through these four steps in this meeting, rather than I'm going to go through this step. I'm going to get into a conversation and I'm going to find out, and then I'm going to take the conversation to where I want it by basically asking questions, listening to what I'm being told, and then leading them down the path that I want to take by asking questions, by answering what they're looking for, by understanding them. And you said it, Jason, salespeople go in and they have blinders on and it's like the switch is flipped and they go into full-blown sales guy, full-blown sales girl, and that's what they do.
Yeah. And I wonder your thoughts on this is how much of that is just the inherent part of being in sales means I either have a job to do or I get compensated by getting people to buy. So now it's at least 51-49, my motivation and my goals versus you.
It's survival of the fittest. And if you don't close the deal, you can't put food on the table. So you're going to close that deal. And, but again, but just take a step back and look at it from this perspective. If you understand the buyer and look at it from the buyer's perspective and factor that into the conversation, you're going to get a heck of a lot further and sell a lot more than you would if you just go into full Salesforce mode and plow straight ahead and make sure you get through your checklist.
So true. And I think that goes back to that authenticity, the persuasion piece, and just the persuasion versus manipulation and the intent and what your goal really is and what you want to do. When you think about the future of sales, let's talk about the technology. Is there any technology that you're really excited about? Let's say for salespeople and or buyers, could be either side.
Honestly, any of the CRM systems out there, you have Salesforce, you have SmartFox, you have HubSpot, and then you have others. But any technology that could help you, even as something as simple as GPS. Jason, I can't tell you how many times I had to pull over and read a map. or buy an atlas at the roadside store because I wanted to find out where my customers were, right? And the more technologically friendly you are, the more technological savvy you are, the more successful you're going to be, because you're going to put yourself in a position to be that much more efficient when you do your job day in and day out, as opposed to wasting time doing something that hasn't been done in 15 years, because guess what? That's how we've always done it. And that's how we're always going to do it. If you don't adapt, you're going to be left behind. So you have to adapt. And if you're just starting out, embrace technology, immerse yourself into it, and become a master at those technologies that are going to make you that much more efficient.
And I think that's really the key, is from what you're saying, is focusing on that efficiency. I'm thinking of that. You said GPS, and there's apps out there. Like, I've had Steve Benson from Badger Maps on the podcast, and his app is focused on basically outside salespeople. How do you put everything into a map and it tells you the most efficient route for the outside sales calls that you have, right? Like, instead of guessing and doing what you and I used to do and mapping it out by hand, why? Just literally use technology to make it so you do what you're supposed to be doing, which is having conversations.
Embrace it. Don't be afraid of it. And it's like, you've got to embrace technology. And so how many times, Jason, did we sit there and drive from point A to point B and we get, it's like, why are we wasting all? We just literally drove a half hour. That's a half hour of windshield time. We don't need that. But if we have that app that says point A, point B, point C, point D, this is the most efficient day that you can have, done. Let technology do the heavy lifting.
And here's what I'll say too, because again, thinking about the future of sales and where people resist CRMs and all kinds of stuff. And this is, again, not just for younger generations, for everybody, is when you start using a new piece of technology, a CRM, a phone system, an outside sales routing app, it's always awkward and painful and rough because you don't know what you're doing and you're trying to figure it out, and there's the learning curve. Think about the fact that you used anything else and now everyone's had to learn a new cell phone or a new brand or a new app on their phone. And over time, it becomes second nature. You don't even think about it. Is do that, but for your business to become efficient. I see so many people just complain and resist and fight using a CRM, and it doesn't make any sense. You're just going to limit yourself career-wise.
And yet it's like, you want to get ahead. You want to be successful. You want to become more efficient, and you got to embrace the technology, and you just got to check your pride at the door. Just embrace it with both hands and run with it.
Any other things that come to mind when you think of the future of sales, especially with the students that you're working with?
The one thing I tell my students is, I don't care how much technology is involved, the simplest thing a salesperson can do is the same thing that the majority of them don't do, and that's be responsive. Respond to a phone call, respond to an email, respond to a text, like soon. And you might not have an answer, but at least you acknowledge that you got the message and you're working on it. And it's not rocket science here, okay? We're building relationships, okay? That's it. And the way you build a relationship is respond to somebody. Let them know you got the message. Don't ignore them, because it's not going away. And if you ignore a customer, you're going to lose a customer. So yeah. Do something that's the easiest thing to do. Return a phone call, return a text, return an email. That's it. It's not that hard.
The thing that people don't realize, again, putting yourself in the shoes of that potential customer or your current customer, is, again, what we talked about, people have nearly unlimited choice, or they feel like they do. If you don't respond to them quick enough, they'll just find somebody else. They don't need you as bad as you think they need you.
That's exactly right. Listen, nobody's irreplaceable. Everybody can be replaced. Every product can be replaced. So do yourself a favor and don't let that happen. Never put yourself in the position to be replaced.
I love it. That's amazing. That's a great place to stop, because again, people think they're irreplaceable in sales, or they think they've got the magic sauce, or that everyone wants them because what they've got is amazing, and realize that's not generally the case. So hopefully you're selling something that's valuable that will help people. At the same point, just remember from the other perspective. Mark, thank you again for being on here. These three segments, all the stuff that happened. Just so people know, when we record this, take breaks in between and doing this in one session, some fun stuff, funny stuff happened in between. I'm going to post about it. Anyone wants to ask, let me know. But I appreciate you being on here and sharing this. And I really appreciate this. And this is so true for everyone I've spoken with so far that's teaching people sales, is the fact that your focus and goal is to help people sell in a way like a professional and do things in a way that's actually beneficial to the world of sales and to the world of customers, which is all of us. And so I appreciate that good work that you're doing out there in the world of sales and changing the way sales is done. So I appreciate that more than anything.
And Jason, I appreciate the opportunity to come on and have this conversation. It was great. And again, if there's anything else I can do, please let me know. But again, thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah. And the links will be in the show notes for anyone that's interested. So for Mark on LinkedIn, you can find him on there. Also the VT.edu, Virginia Tech program. We mentioned it in part one, but his book called In the Arena, coming out in September. So depending on when you find this, it might be out. It might be in a pre-launch, which is coming up soon. Make sure to check the show notes and look at that. And again, so glad that you were here, Mark. And all the listeners being a part of this, there's a reason you found this show. I learned that long time ago, is when you come across a podcast, a show, whether it's this part three or all three of these parts, or you've been a longtime listener of the show, there's some reason, there's some that pointed you to this. And hopefully you got at least one thing from this. If you got something from this, then it was a success and there's value in it. And hopefully you can take that into the world of sales and all the people you are a part of their lives when you're selling. And that's really the goal. And I appreciate you being here. Make sure to subscribe. Make sure to share these podcasts. Make sure to get this out there so that we can all be a part of changing the way sales is done. And until next time, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.